We're glad to have you, as usual, the day before the wonderful Paducah Symphony Orchestra concert in the Carson Center tomorrow night at 7:30. You know, I'd like to know right off the bat, because this is a really special concert with side-by-side with the Paducah Symphony Youth Orchestra, the selection of the Rachmaninoff Second Symphony in the context of the other pieces that you've chosen.
Yeah, it's a really interesting thing. First of all, the Rachmaninoff 2 is an epic work. It's an hour long of just the spinning of beautiful melody and intense harmonies that Rachmaninoff masterfully puts in the symphony. And I put it on this program because now that we have this youth orchestra there and these kids have this opportunity to play side by side with a professional orchestra, I wanted them to be able to sit in the audience and experience some of the greatest repertoire of all time, and Rock 2 really accomplished that.
That's pretty cool. Give us the context for the symphony when Rachmaninoff debuted this.
You know, it's absolutely miraculous that it even exists, because out of his two symphonies, after Symphony Number 1, it was such a devastating disappointment to him that he stopped writing for about a year and went into a deep depression. It just was miserably reviewed and, for some reason, was not accepted by the public. It just was too contemporary, too much music for the average listener at that period in time. He put his pen to work again beginning in about October 1906, and it took him about a half a year to finish this symphony. So 6 months he spent with it, and he stopped everything and really wrote this piece. And I think the debut himself was in 1908, before it was even published, and just was a super automatic hit. And this piece is somewhat just amazing. I mean, it's the third movement is so lovely that even Barry Manilow stole the theme and made a pop song out of it. That's how beautiful it is.
Which pop song?
You know, I don't remember the name of the tune because I only listen to your station. It's something out there, and it's really a lot of fun. This is a great, great piece of music. And you know, many composers, Stravinsky once said, "We all steal." But the difference is, great composers steal from other great composers. Well, Rachmaninoff didn't steal from other composers. He had so much material. But what he's wonderful for the environment, Rachmaninoff, because he's a recycler. He uses themes and thematic material from his symphonic dances and other works in this symphony. And even within the movements themselves, he uses the same theme in a movement himself and then takes it in another direction. It's absolutely genius and wonderful.
Do the musicians love this piece?
You know, I think everybody loves this piece. The difficulty with this symphony is that to maintain that high level of concentration for 1 hour is a challenge for any orchestra.
And to keep your arms going for an hour.
Absolutely. I mean, it's so much work. I mean, after conducting a work of this magnitude, you really feel like you've just done the Olympics, and it's really physically and mentally tiring. But the reward is just absolutely amazing. And so, surprisingly, in the community, as I've been spending the week here, everyone knows this tune and by title and loves it. So it has real, real commercial value, and it's beautiful.
All right, so this is the blockbuster, and the Paducah Youth Symphony Orchestra pieces are equally interesting and forceful, and I'd like your assessment of the Youth Symphony Orchestra's performance level.
Well, because the orchestra that was established a couple of seasons ago is growing in size and developing in technique and in talent, we were able to put out some more challenging works, and this one is a perfect example. This Rites of Tamburo by Smith. It's an excellent situation of allowing them to experience different things. The Rites of Tamburo is exactly what it is. It's kind of driven by the percussion section, this piece.
Mm-hmm.
It constantly has this rhythm and feel to it, although not specific to any cultural styles or influences, but it's sort of a mixed bag of eclectic blends of various musical styles, if you will. And it's a lot of fun to play, and the kids are really driven by it. And it's a fun thing. It has a really nice beat. It's also something that is a little different than standard orchestra repertoire that they're probably not doing in the school orchestras. So it's something new for them, something fun for the percussion, and it's a great piece to listen to. My plan for next season already is to stretch them again and introduce them to some mainstay, some real literature, like maybe Dvorak 8, one of the movements or something, something from the real meat and potatoes of the repertoire, so they get a real experience playing with a professional orchestra on the Carson Center stage and take it to the next level.
That must be just a sort of a life-changing experience for a young musician. Is the Creston piece still on the program?
The Creston is the opener of the dance overture by Paul Creston. It is the overture and the opening to this concert. And it's funny because we all know Creston and all the sonatas he wrote for instruments and beautiful repertoire and very difficult repertoire. And when I spoke to his son a couple of weeks ago to tell him that I was doing this piece and to see if I can get some insight into it, he said that this was his father's favorite piece out of all his compositions, yet it's the least performed. And I find that interesting, how a composer can write something so charming and wonderful and actually think it to be his best work, yet the public hasn't latched on to it.
Why did Mr. Creston change his name? What is the backstory to that?
You know, I don't know. I know that he was born in New York to Italian parents, and I have no understanding of why he changed the name. I don't know. You know, the only thing I can think of is that because I remember when my parents came to the United States, in that period, it was, and this was, he came, his parents, I think he was born in early 1900s. So even in the 60s, when my parents, 50s, my parents came here, the idea was to Americanize and blend in because as an Italian, it wasn't, you were kind of pigeonholed in where you were going to work and you were kind of limited in what career options you had. And they handed you a shovel in those days. So it was kind of blend in, learn to speak English, kind of let our past go and become Americanized. And that might be what he was thinking.
But is the Italian flavor there in his music?
You know, I sense this one here is interesting because this is a dance overture, and it has four different dance styles to it. It has a Spanish bolero, an English country dance, a French lorette, and it ends with an American square dance. So it doesn't have anything of a hint of Italy, but he has these four dance elements to it. And as a matter of fact, this last part, the American square dance, this section has some real country fiddling in it. And I might add, it's going to be Kentucky style.
Well, that's great. It sounds like a wonderful evening.
It's going to be really eclectic, fun, charming, some things new by familiar composers, and a real war horse, a great piece of music by the Rachmaninoff, which is going to take everyone on this beautiful journey.
Raffaele Ponte, maestro of the Paducah Symphony Orchestra, thank you for being with us. And let's remind everybody that the concert is tomorrow night at 7:30 at the Carson Center, and you can get tickets at the Paducah Symphony office. The number is 270-444-0065. Or at the website, paducahsymphony.org. And you know something I never remember to say, and I want to today, Maestro, is that the WKMS rebroadcast of this concert will be February 9th at 11 and 9 on our regular channel, HD1, and on HD2, our all-classical channel, at those times, and also Monday, February 10th at 9 a.m., and Wednesday at noon. You won't remember that, but just know that there are multiple rebroadcasts of each concert of the Paducah Symphony Orchestra on WKMS. Maestro, thank you for being with us.
Hey, thank you so much. And I can't tell you how many people tell me that they listen to the rebroadcast once they come to the performance and enjoy it a second time on your station. So thank you so much.
Ciao.